Thanksgiving is certainly a wonderful time. It's a time to gather together with friends and family, and to really just stuff ourselves and get ready for the Christmas feast. And after we do that, we get all fatted up in the day, and then we get to sit back on the couch and watch football. Although I just found out today after I'd got my speech already that the Packers start at 11:30 tomorrow. So I guess we're going to have to start with couch potato and move on to mashed potatoes. So I'm also thankful that tomorrow we get to watch the Packers and that they're playing the Detroit Lions, too. That's always a good thing. Of course, there's more to Thanksgiving than eating and watching football. Thanksgiving is really a time to reflect upon the Lord's goodness to us. And when I was asked to do this message, I thought about that, and I thought, this is a rather difficult year, isn't it? Previous to this year, the Thanksgivings for quite a few years have been pretty good. We're just coming from a time of our greatest economic growth in the history of our country, and things were going really well. And then, of course, this year, as we reflect, it's hard to really get past what happened on September 11th and the tragedy that happened. And it affects all of us. It affected all of our lives. And not only that, but, you know, prior to that, the economy was in a slowdown, too. So we have on this national level, or really a worldwide level, this tragedy that happened here in the States of this terrible act of terrorism. And then, of course, on the national level, we have the economy, which isn't so good and has left many people jobless for the first time in years, and many other people really worried about their jobs and about where they're going to be and what is coming up for their jobs in the future. And it's been a while for me to have to face that too, but even in my job in the airlines, of course, you know, we were probably impacted the most because of that tragedy. And United Airlines, which was so strong prior to this year, now is really in deep trouble. And so looking ahead, my future as far as an airline pilot is really a little bit uncertain at this point. Although with each day it gets more encouraging, yet there's that uncertainty out there. So as we reflect on this year, it's really difficult when we think about all that has happened. And then even on a more personal level, and this is every year, we have to deal with the things of physical health and maybe the loss of a loved one or something. And so as we reflect and think about that, these are things that we also have to confront. And yet, in these things, we can also find, or we can also be thankful to the Lord and find good that comes out of them. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about on a personal level and how I would react if one of my loved ones were to die, or if the Lord would come to me and say to me, John, tonight I'm going to require... Carmen asked me if I could get through this, and it's going to be difficult, but if the Lord would come to me tonight and say, John, I'm going to take home your son, Seth, or your daughter, excuse me, or one of your daughters, or even your wife, And I thought, how would I react to that? How would that affect my life, or how would I respond to something so terrible happening in my life? I mean, it was bad enough to look back at the tragedies that happened, and they hit close to home with me being in the airlines, and yet they didn't come that close. And so tonight I'd just like to look back on a man in the Old Testament. You all know who he is, Abraham, and see how he responded when the Lord said to him, "Abraham, I want you to offer up your son Isaac as a sacrifice to me." And I'd like to take a look at that and see how he responded. And I also want to say, too, that I don't know how I would respond, but I do know this, that if I did not have this assurance of salvation that I have through the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I did not know that because of what He did for me on that cross at Calvary, that I had eternal life, or that each one of my family members had eternal life, that I don't think I'd be able to handle that. But I do know that I have that assurance of salvation, and that in that way, with His help, I feel I'd be able to get through it, even though I don't know how I would react to it. But let's take a look at Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And I'm going to read through verse 19. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' And the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed shall all, in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. In verses 1 and 2, we see the Lord's command to Abraham. And I thought about this, and this is why I was thinking about how I would react. I mean, here the Lord comes and says to Abraham, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And he tells him to go sacrifice him to the Lord. And Abraham doesn't question him. Abraham doesn't talk back to the Lord and say, no way, Lord. And he doesn't say, well, Lord, how am I supposed, you know, you said through Isaac I'm going to be blessed and be all these people, have all these people for generations, and yet here you're going to take him away from me? And of course, not only that, but when did Abraham have Isaac? Abraham had Isaac when the Bible says he was as good as dead, and he had Isaac. So here's Abraham looking at this, going, "This is my only son that you have given me, and you gave him to me when I was as good as dead, and now you're going to take him away from me. Lord, how can you do this?" He didn't question him. He didn't say anything of that. And I believe it's because Abraham had already seen the faithfulness of the Lord, and that he knew that the Lord was true to his word, that the Lord was faithful, and that if he asked him to sacrifice Isaac, that's what he's going to do. So we see this very hard command that the Lord gives Abraham, and Abraham is ready to do it. And it's verses 3 through 5 tells about how Abraham traveled to the place which God had told him. And then verse 4 says, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5, and Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So you see here that Abraham didn't really doubt that he was going to come back with Isaac. He knew he was going up there to sacrifice Isaac, but he also knew that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and that he was confident that he would come back with Isaac. And it's interesting to note that they waited till the third day. And of course, we know that when our Lord died on the cross, it was the third day that he rose again. And we'll see in the story of Isaac that indeed on this third day, Isaac goes up to the mountain to be sacrificed. Abraham doesn't think he's going to... I mean, Abraham... I didn't mean that he doesn't think he's going to come back. Abraham knows that he's going to sacrifice Isaac up there on the altar to the Lord. And yet, here through the grace of the Lord, Isaac is spared. And in a sense, raised from the dead. Because when they started out, Isaac was as good as dead, wasn't he? And yet, he came out of that, as we know the Lord did provide. So, verses 6 through 8 is when they are walking up to the mountain, to the place where they're going to sacrifice Isaac, or where Abraham is going to sacrifice Isaac. And I think it's interesting to note in verse 6 that verse 6 says, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And Abraham took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. I thought it was interesting that Abraham laid the bulk of the load on Isaac. You know, all that wood and everything Isaac had to carry, and Abraham had the fire in one hand and then the knife in the other and walked up the mountain. I thought that was interesting because when I always wonder about this, when they got up to the mountain to the place where they were going to do the sacrifice, when they came to the place which God had told them, or then he came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and placed the wood in order. Well, where was Isaac when Abraham was putting the wood in order and building the altar to sacrifice him? And I think, I'm going to read into this a little bit, but Isaac got up there and he was dead tired. And he went off and went to sleep. While Abraham prepared the wood and laid him on the altar, Isaac was asleep. So, in fact, I like to think that Isaac was asleep all the way until the ram, until they saw the ram caught in the thicket. I like to think that he never saw his dad lift that knife above him. And that's just my thought on this. But isn't it wonderful how the Lord does provide? Because here, Abraham has built this altar, and his son is laying there on this altar, and he's all ready. He's got the knife ready, and he's ready to take his son's life, to sacrifice his son to the Lord as the Lord had commanded. And the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham. Just at that moment, calls out his name. He said, Abraham says, here I am. And he says, do not lay your hand on the son. And of course, then the Lord provides that ram in the thicket. And Isaac's life is spared. But Abraham didn't have any doubts. He knew that if that knife did fall on Isaac, that God would raise Isaac from the dead, as he had promised that Isaac would be Abraham's seed. So the Lord provided that ram for Abraham, and Abraham trusted in God. And if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And of course, that figurative sense was that Abraham received Isaac when he was as good as dead. Abraham was as good as dead. So we see God's wonderful provision here, and we see how the Lord works. And I really believe, and the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I really believe that when Abraham came down off that mountain and he had received the blessing, and he came down with his son Isaac, and he didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. And verse 19 says, so Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And I think right in there I would add, and Abraham celebrated Thanksgiving. You just got to believe that Abraham celebrated the fact that God provided a ram for him, that God was true to his word, and that he had to be so thankful that he came down off that mountain with Isaac, that I really believe that he was thankful, much like the when the prodigal son returned to his father, you know, let's celebrate. My son, who was as good as dead before I went up on that mountain, came down with me and is alive with me now. And I just really think that this is a great Thanksgiving story, because in our lives, when we reflect upon what has happened in our lives, and when we look back and it seems so hard to find anything to be thankful about, and yet as we look back, we can see God's grace and God's hand in our lives, and we can thank Him for all that He has done for us, and for whether He has brought us through that trial, and we look back at the trial and we can thank Him for that trial, or whether we're in a trial at the time, we still look at it and we can thank the Lord that He is with us at that time and going through that trial and helping us through those difficult times where without His help, we probably wouldn't be able to make it through. And I think our brother earlier prayed this, and I'd just like to refer to it in Romans chapter 28. Romans 8, verse 28. There's no 28 in Romans. Actually, it's not chapter 8 either. Yes, it is. Chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And this is so true. When we look back and reflect upon some of the trials and the tribulations that we have gone through, and we see the Lord's hand in our lives, and we can look back and we can say, well, during this trial, I didn't know why I had to go through this or what was going on during this time. But it's when we look back and we can reflect upon that, that we can see the hand of the Lord in our lives and can see how He has brought us along and helped us through the trials. And I was thinking, too, about I'm reading through the Chronicles of Narnia to my daughters, and I was thinking about one in particular, the Don Treader, and the character in there called Eustace went to this pond and he saw a dragon and he drank from the pond and Eustace became this dragon. And I thought, what a good analogy this is, because it showed Eustace going to the depths of woe, being this dragon and just being in pain and misery all the time. And then the only way he could get out of this was to shed all this scales that were on him and everything, and how he was shedding them, but he couldn't get them off, and how finally the lion, Aslan in the story, came and shed all the scales off of him, and how much that is like our Lord when we're going through trials and tribulations, and all this seems to weigh us down and we have all this on us, and how the Lord just comes alongside of us and helps us and really pulls off those scales or that baggage that's on us and helps us through. And I think Paul understood this the best, and if you turn to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 9, well, beginning in verse 7, actually, Paul is talking about a thorn in his flesh, and he says, in beginning of verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And how true that is, that God's grace is sufficient for us, and that when we are weak, He is strong, and that when we go through these trials, we come out of them stronger because of what the Lord has done in our lives and how He has brought us through these trials. And it makes us ready, well, maybe not ready, but more prepared for the next trial that come or the next tribulation that might come, because we can further, we have a deeper understanding of what it means to trust the Lord and to just really rely upon Him to help us through those trials. And in also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul says that to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful assurance that is, to know that we can just go to Him, that we can take all our trials and our problems to the Lord in prayer and give Him thanks for what we might be going through, and know that He will cover us with His peace and with His understanding. And what a great assurance that is for us. And as we look back on this past year, and yes, it's been a hard year. It's been a hard time on our nation, and in a lot of ways it affects everybody. And yet we can look back, as our brother Steve prayed, and give the Lord thanks in all that. Because in all that we see the hand of God moving, and we've heard of wonderful stories of people being saved through this tragedy, and just the people turning to the Lord during this time, and how wonderful that is. So His grace is sufficient for us, and He is a wonderful God, and it's just wonderful to know that He is there to come alongside us and to pick us up and to help us during those trials. And it's wonderful to see the hand of God and how it guides us through all those situations. And it's also wonderful to know that the Lord sacrificed His only Son for us too. And as the Lord said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son Isaac, whom you loved. God sacrificed His Son, His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He loved. And He sacrificed Him for us on that cross at Calvary, so that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can know and have that assurance that we have eternal life because of what Christ did for us by dying on that cross at Calvary. So I'd just like to thank Him now. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much. You have given us so much, and we did not deserve what You have given us in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans tells us that, but God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies with You, You sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, so that we might have eternal life. And we thank You for that, Father. And we have so much to be thankful for because of what You have done for us. And it's a wonderful time of year, Thanksgiving, because it's a time where we can reflect back on all that You have done for us, all that You have given us in Your goodness and Your grace towards us. So we thank You for that, Father. We thank You that we can do that. And yet we don't want to be in a position where we do it only at Thanksgiving, but we need to be mindful of what you have done for us each and every day. And especially, Father, when we are going through trials and tribulations, that we might know that you are there with us and that we can give you thanks in all situations because your grace is sufficient for us. And we thank you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.